on a Friday, January 2nd, 2026. Thanks for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quagamos, Ben Milstead. We've aged, but we are live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. Different year, same open, baby. Same intro. It's just about going 1-0 today. I came in here. My wife told me this morning. She's like, "You look really stern." And what I told her was, "I feel like I have a lot to do." What I should have said was, "I'm just Kurt Cignetti in the fourth quarter with a 50-point lead." That's all it is. Just look really stern. Ben Milstead, how are you this morning? Afternoon, whatever it is.
I am fine. The finest I have been in 2026.
Oh!
Very fine.
That's great.
Although yesterday was not terrible. I was able to get outside for a little bit. Had a few hours off yesterday. Imagine that. That was
awesome. How great is that?
No complaints here, though. You good?
I'm good.
Today's Friday. It feels like Monday. I am big fan of 2 days off work, 2 days off work. It's a great.
It's very European of us here at the end of the year.
Yeah. We could be like a firefighter, except they're working 24 on.
That's true. What we do is like three. Well, you know what? No, I'm not even going to play into that. It's more than three.
Yeah.
More than three.
This time of year, like so many fans, we are scouring the internet, refreshing things, searching for answers. What have you heard? This is what I think I know. Good times, man. Just trying to be patient with it all. But it's hard to preach patience when it comes to sports in today's modern world.
And you know what? I want to preach patience. But also, I appreciate the impatience, because that's when we hear from you, when you're your most impatient, because you need to know right now. And we might give you some answers today. We probably won't satisfy your impatience today, but we're going to try. We'll do our best. 654-ROAR if you'd like to get in. Phones, Adam's Curving text line. Did you stay up to watch the ball drop? Did you get that?
No. Almost. I was close. I made it till about 11:40. And then when I opened my eyes back up, it was 12:30. So,
oh man,
like, I didn't really miss anything.
I bought a coffee at 9:45. We're at the bar watching at the hotel bar.
Oh, I was home by then. I got home about 8 o'clock.
There we go. So, after a men's basketball win,
great win on the
road.
We
got to talk about that.
At the Cuse.
We were in the Omni in Charlottesville, just watching football, hanging out with some of the women's basketball staff, and I legit at about 9:45. I was like, you know, I have already closed my tab for the night, but I'm going to open it back for this caffeine, because it's 9:45. I got to get 2 hours and 15. And if I'm going to hang out with these jabronis, then I'm going to need a little something.
Is that important to you to hit midnight?
Yes, but decreasingly so.
Yeah.
I find it to be decreasingly important to watch the new year, because guess what? It's going to happen with or without me, and I'm going to go to bed and wake up, and it's going to be the morning, and it doesn't matter whether I watch that ball drop or not. I'm going to be as tired relative to the amount of hours that I slept.
Yeah, if my wife is up, I want to be up, because I think, you know, I'm not going to miss an opportunity for her to kiss me. I mean, she's legally obligated at midnight, so I'm, you know.
That's true.
Got that going for me. I've just never cared about it. Now, if I'm at a party or something, you know, you love the energy and the countdown and all that, but I was home on my couch.
I've been gone on New Year's Eve like two or three times since we got married, and I think my wife is okay with it, because she wants to go to bed. Like, she doesn't care. And so she just goes to bed like she would normally go to bed. And she didn't have to worry about what time am I going to bed. So she gets to go to bed without somebody waking her up. So I think she's okay with it. It is neat to be able to go through, like, New Year's Eve with a team of very young athletes, who many of whom are also like, no, I was in bed. Mm-hmm. Because they're just on they're in a routine. They're on a schedule. And especially, like, this women's basketball team is a focused team. Like, it's not a It's not a bunch of miscreants out there. Like, it's a very focused team. And so it was a business trip, but there were several, like, they enjoyed the last few hours of 2025. And then they beat me to breakfast. I was the last one at breakfast, I think, yesterday at about 8:30. So they were all in there. So I could appreciate that.
Nice.
It was a full weekend, too. I mean, that was a lot in the world of sports. Between the coordinator portal stuff with Clemson and the college football playoff games and college basketball, which I thought was excellent. I watched a few games on the men's side the last couple days, and then, of course, I watched women's basketball. That was my side screen yesterday. May or may not have been some skin in the game and a couple, maybe a little under in Cal, North Carolina, that took me to the end. Kentucky won at LSU on a buzzer beater last night, and I got to watch that on the bus with several people who are very familiar with Kenny Brooks, the head coach of Kentucky. The audible reactions from the front, back, and middle of the bus watching that were pretty cool. I feel like we should almost do the best thing you saw in 2026, but really just, I have so many thoughts on the playoff and how we got to this point, Ben. I feel like it has run the spectrum, and I think, I'll be honest, I feel like I've been gatekeeping a little bit, where I'm almost to the point where I'm like, no, you're not allowed to think that anymore. About some of the narratives that are out there. We're not allowed to have those in 2026. That's my New Year's resolution, that we're not allowed to carry wrong narratives that we know are wrong into 2026. What were your general thoughts on the biggest football games that we saw the last couple days?
Clearly we're talking about the playoff games. Number one, I was just entertained by all of them. Perhaps the Oregon-Texas Tech game did not grab my attention the way the others did. Nothing against those teams. I'm not really sure why. Texas Tech kept shooting themselves in the foot, it felt like. And then in that one, and again, it's nothing. I was actually rooting for Texas Tech. It just felt like Oregon was much better to me. And there's differing opinions on that. I get it. My eyes told me Oregon is much better than Texas Tech. So I was a little disappointed because, again, I was pulling for the Red Raiders, but it did not happen. The other games, you just edge of your seat on all of them. I mean, for various reasons. It wasn't that they were all close. They certainly weren't. Alabama doing Alabama things in the playoff. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what I thought was interesting is, like, the framing of the Ty Simpson thing, and I was in the arena at this point, so, like, I don't have the sound on, but Ty Simpson, like, kind of getting dinged and can't go, and Austin Mack coming in and being just objectively better than Ty Simpson makes Alabama's offseason quite a bit confusing to me. Like, Ty Simpson was bad. I mean, just really bad was in the game. And then Austin Mack made a couple throws that Ty Simpson wouldn't even dreamed of in the game, and I thought, this is a third-year guy, Austin Mack, coming up. Portal's opening today. That's kind of what I thought. For somebody who went 2-2 in our contest, and for somebody who correctly picked straight up one of the four games, I thought my characterizations of what was going to happen in these games were pretty spot on. I thought lines of scrimmage would be a factor in Miami, Ohio State, and they were. I thought Texas Tech's defense was significantly undervalued by the public, and I thought they were quite good. Oregon found out Texas Tech's defense was quite good. The problem is that I underestimated how much worse. Not that Texas Tech's offense was worse, but how much worse Texas Tech's offense was and scheme was than Oregon's. In Ole Miss, Georgia, I was a conscientious objector because there was so much different in that game, and that ended up being the wildest one that I was glad that I just basically said, I'm taking Georgia, but I'm kind of just bowing out of this because I want to see what happens.
Yeah, let me just I know we're going to circle back to all these games. I don't know that I agree on the Texas Tech offense, but when you turn the ball over four times against anybody, you're going to look bad. And that is indeed what I mean. I do think they are better than they are not shutout worthy.
Yeah.
And but the four turnovers that changes everything for you.
My thought on Texas Tech is their offense was not the schematic masterpiece. Like, when you turn on Ole Miss, Georgia, like, you're expecting to see a million formations and some razzle-dazzle, and you're expecting a little bit of pyrotechnics. Like, with Indiana, they're just kind of lining up and beating you. Like, you're not going to have a double reverse pass somewhere. Like, they're just going to line up, and they're just going to beat you on this play, and then we're going to line up, and they're going to beat you on the next one, and they're going to beat you for the next 207 plays.
By the way, there have been more double reverse passes this season than in any season I can remember. It's like that's the trendy thing to do. It's interesting that you brought that up because I guess we saw one of those last night. And I'm like, you know, that used to be a gimmick, and now everybody's doing it. Anyway, carry on.
Georgia, I think I'm right in saying this. Let me see. There were three teams that had a non-quarterback throw a pass in the playoff games, and those teams were combined 1-2. Georgia lost, and Alabama lost, and those teams fake punts.
And excuse me, how many defensive or non-offensive touchdowns have we had?
Oh, man.
It feels like every game there's been one, or close to, you know, somebody get tackled. A scoop and almost score.
That was it. I mean,
there's been a bunch of that, has there not?
The only scoring drive when the game was being contested in the Oregon-Texas Tech game was a 6-yard scoring drive that took one play when Mateo Uiagalelei batted the ball up in the air and then somehow, like, balanced it on his arm until his hand worked properly.
What a play.
Just an unbelievable play. You had Alabama-Indiana was pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward there. But Ole Miss-Georgia had a defensive touchdown as well. The Miami-Ohio State, that was the difference in a game in the Miami-Ohio State game. Like, if not for that defensive touchdown, Ohio State may well win the game. Like, I thought Miami was... They had an effort that was conducive to winning, but I did not think they were, like, dramatically, vastly superior, absolutely going to win the game 100 times out of 100. Because I thought Ohio State, the way they battled back in the second half, they gave you some signs of life. But in the first half, if it's, for example, if they don't have that one of the cleanest, most awesome defensive touchdowns you'll see, beating a block, taking a ball to the – like, picking off a screen, it's like what you dream. How many times you see the DB drop that ball because you're not expecting it to come to you?
And the moment he caught it, you knew there wasn't going to be anyone within 10 yards of him at any given point. And there wasn't. It was, that was as clean a pick six as you could ever see.
Think about it. If he picks that ball off and falls down, it could be 7-0 going to the locker room. If Ohio State's down 7 and they have to come back from a 7-point deficit in the second half, I think they might win the game. Like, I really do think, even though it's a 10-point game and Miami's offense outscored Ohio State's offense, I thought the defensive touchdown was the difference in the game. Texter asked this from the 864. Any thoughts about teams with bye weeks going 1-7 in 2 years?
I'm not picking on you, Texter, but I sure wish somebody would have tweeted that, I don't know, 10,000 times last night or the day before. Like that was breaking news.
Can I – we got to go to break here. But I just want to – I want to let this linger, okay? I believe that blaming rest, like saying you have too much rest or rust, requires two things. Number one, it requires a result that is directly impacted by a rusty, rested team and a highly functioning and also healthy non-rested team. And, in my opinion, it requires a result that is only explainable by this team was off too many days. Ben, I don't think that's what we have. I don't think the results of yesterday are to a point where I can forcefully say that the teams with byes are at disadvantages after eight games. Now, are there arguments to be made for that? Yes. We may have those today. We'll discuss that on the other side. And if you differ in that opinion, feel free to say so. 654 Roar is the number. Hour one of the program continues right after this.
60 years. That's how long Joe Roberson and son have been roofing homes and businesses right here in the upstate. For generations, they've protected families, local businesses, and landmarks you pass every day. Look around. There's a good chance the roof over your favorite restaurant, your neighbor's home, or even the building you're driving by is a Joe Roberson and son roof. Why have families trusted them for six decades? Because this is a family business built on honest workmanship, fair pricing, and doing the job right every single time. And with Joe Roberson and Son, you don't pay a dime until the job is completed to your satisfaction. If you need roofing service or a new roof, trust the family that upstate families have trusted for 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 864-246-0886. That's 864-246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
For a true Tiger, every day is game day. And the Tiger Sports Shop has the gear to prove it. From Nike sideline apparel to exclusive Lululemon and Clemson polos, tees, and hats, we've got what you need to rep your Tigers in style. Plus, by joining our Tiger Rewards loyalty program, you'll earn points and unlock exclusive perks throughout the season. Shop local at our two Clemson locations or online anytime at tigersports.com. The Tiger Sports Shop, your Clemson headquarters, everything Clemson for the Clemson fan.
Go Tigers!
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we offer crawl space insulation and encapsulations, protecting your home from the outdoor elements, as well as dust, mold, and allergens. The biggest pain point here in South Carolina is humidity, and with it comes mold. Your health is in jeopardy. We seal your crawl space and control humidity with an April air dehumidifier, preventing the gross crawl space air to travel through your floors and into your home, making your HVAC work overtime. Call Koala Insulation of Greenville today at 864-867-1779 to learn more.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
Let me tell you. You my little boo thing, so I'll give a hoot what you do. Say, girl, I know you a little too tame. I'll be shooting that shot like 2K. Girl, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you found a little something too fresh, I know.
All right, hour one continues out of bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks so much for being here. This is awesome to be here in 2026. Love to hear from you on the fifth Friday in the last 10 days. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to join us. 654-7627 on the phones or on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line. This hour brought to you by our friends at the South Carolina Education Lottery. I was privileged, I'm very proud, to earn the Palmetto Fellow Scholarship when I went to Clemson. And that life scholarship is unbelievable. Recipients, they say this all the time, that it changed their life. You see a lot of people that get life scholarships that may not be able to go to a state school that are able to because of that money.
I have child number three who is benefiting from South Carolina Education Lottery money.
South Carolina Education Lottery, a better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou. Ben, a couple of things. Texter says this. It's still absolutely an advantage to have the bye. I'd argue that a bye is bad in the MLB playoffs with hitters worried about timing and whatnot, but in college football, avoiding an extra game of wear and tear is huge. Now, I think on paper that's probably fine. You do have to wrestle with the fact that 7 of these 8 games, small sample, but again, you've got 8 of them. 7 of these 8 games, the team that played a week and a half earlier has won. And you could easily make the argument that a 10-day rest is plenty of time, where it's not like in college where we talk about, well, this team's coming off a bye. Because that means that they haven't played in 14 days and you haven't played in 7. This is like you haven't played in a month and the other team, in the case of Georgia, they played 3 games in less than a month. Ole Miss hadn't played since the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, Ohio State, I think they said it had been 37 days since they had played a game. That's a long time. I don't care who you are. That's a long time. I would say that it's too early to draw massive conclusions on this because last year, remember, the top 4 conference champions were your top 4 seeds. That does not necessarily mean those were your 4 best teams. Like, Ohio State would not have been ranked 8th if it was just open seeding last year.
That's correct.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The other thing is, but now on the just sort of getting tuned up, remember the team that does not get the bye, in a lot of cases they're playing games that they're supposed to win and win big. So, you know, they're kind of getting it out of their system and then they don't have to deal with this long. They can afford to be rusty early in a game, whereas you get into that second round, like what we saw yesterday, you know, your competition is almost equal to you. So, you know, if you're rusty coming out of the gate, I mean, like Indiana was not great in their first possession. He got sacked twice and had to punt. Yeah, it was the last time, but still, you know, it's like they didn't look great in the first possession. I do think the layoff is just too long, period, and you're starting to hear some coaches talk about that. But at the end of the day, I think I'm with you. It's hard to convince me that rest is a bad thing.
Well, and especially, like, which of these results – and I'm not saying which of these did you think were not going to happen or whatever, but which of these results was inexplicable other than the delay?
Yeah.
Like, Oregon was favored over Texas Tech. So you're not blaming that on the delay. Maybe the 23-0, maybe as bad as Texas Tech was, but, like, let's not pretend Oregon was great, Ben. I mean, you would have to show me that Oregon executed flawlessly against a team that couldn't get out of its own way, and they should have been equal, and they got blown out. Oregon had like 300 yards of offense and was 4-for-8 on fourth down.
I just feel like right now there's just too many other things that are more relevant that can be proven than worrying about that. You know what I mean? I mean, like, it's going to change after next year anyway.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I had a hard time with some of the framing of Miami, Ohio State. You saw the Mandel tweet, right? The Stuart Mandel tweet about...
I saw many bad tweets, yes.
This is the most shocking result in the 12-year playoff? Let me just be clear about this.
Tell me you haven't watched Miami play without telling me you haven't watched
right,
Miami
I mean,
play.
That just means you were wrong about Miami and Ohio State. That just means you were wrong. I mean, we talked on this station quite a bit about how Miami's line of scrimmage was way better than people think. And if you looked at the teams that Ohio State played that had very good defensive lines, they were not putting up tons of points on them. This Ohio State offense wasn't putting up a ton of points on anybody. But there was this idea that Ohio State was going to be able to somehow move the ball with these receivers. And again, you don't understand. Like, Miami's lines of scrimmage were far and away good enough, well over the line of being able to push Ohio State.
Yeah, and see, and I think in a case like Miami, Ohio State, it's too easy for some of these guys to look at the seeding and say, well, because Ohio State was number 2 and because Miami was number 10, it's a huge upset. But that's the reality is there were much closer on the field than people like apparently than he realized. I mean, I almost kind of looked at them as equals, to tell you the truth.
And that's why 9.5 was too many points.
So I didn't care. I didn't care what the seeding was in a case. Like, at this point, just forget about the seeding. Doesn't matter.
That's right. The other thing is, you know, and this sort of rebuts that narrative. We'll go to the phones here in a second. This sort of rebuts that narrative about the playoff teams and the bye. That Miami, again, the team that was in that theory, that's supposed to be the well-oiled machine. They scored 7 points in the first half. Ole Miss is supposed to have all the kinks out, and yet they scored 20 points in the fourth quarter and were down 9 at the half to Georgia and came back and won. If it were about the bye, then Ole Miss would have been up at the half, and Georgia would have been the team that stormed back in the second half as they sort of got their feet underneath them in the game. Like, there are too many times where the narrative just doesn't hold. And then you have the Indiana-Alabama game where Indiana is the most fascinating team in the country for a lot of reasons, but it has never quite crystallized to me as clearly as the Alabama game how relentlessly they just pursue whipping your A on that play right there. And if they don't win that play, it is an apoplectic disaster in their program. And so they're going to beat you on the next play, and they're all 11 people are going to murder you in every single play. It is akin to some of the ugly, like, we're going to beat you, you know, 13-3 Nick Saban teams, where, like, they came into games looking to absolutely put 11 people into the hospital on every single snap. And now Indiana's not able to do that because they don't have the body types to do that. But look at how hard they play. Every single snap, look how hard they play. They're not running razzle-dazzle gadget stuff offensively. They freaking murdered Alabama. Snap after snap after snap after snap. They left bodies and bodies and bodies and bodies. It was an absolute bulldozer. Every single play. And that level of relentlessness is unmistakable when you put them against a brand like Alabama and you just watch how flattened like a pancake that entire Alabama program was in the second half.
I had to keep reminding myself who was wearing which jerseys.
Yes.
Watching the game. And did anybody else have this thought watching Alabama, Indiana? Did anybody else have the thought that you felt like you were watching the 2025 Alabama team play the 2015 Alabama team?
Yes.
Because, like, that era of Alabama football, and I think it was Mickey and I having a conversation about this morning, that Alabama was just a machine. They were so precise in everything they did in that era of football. And that is exactly what Indiana was. I mean, they're like just a video game.
Yes.
And they don't make mistakes.
Honestly, look at the offensive coordinators and the stuff that people are running and how people are trying to scheme stuff open, all that stuff. When's the last time, and this is not disrespectful, this is actually a mark of respect for me. When's the last time you watched an Indiana game and you're like, golly, man, that coordinator, boy, he is in his bag.
Mm-hmm.
They just are like running off tackle, and they're just going to like, they're just going to block you 3 yards, and then a running back's going to hit you and fall forward 2 yards. And in that way, it's like watching a Trent Richardson, Bo Scarborough masterpiece where, by the way, I was never quite sold on Fernando Mendoza as a Heisman winner for the reason that you saw yesterday, that Indiana was as balanced gets offensively the whole year. They would run it. They would throw it. They might be imbalanced in games depending on what was necessary. But when they can do everything, Mendoza, what did he throw it, 20 times?
But, you know, I was kind of opposite on him, Kwok, because he's the most unassuming Heisman winner I think in my lifetime, and some people almost classified it as, well, he won it by default. And then I watched the way he was just surgical in everything he did, and then to hear that kid talk after the game, and you realize, okay, he's got that intangible part of the game. He also, there's no chance that his teammates wouldn't die for him.
Yes.
That I thought he's as big a no-brainer Heisman winner as we could have ever had this year, actually.
That's a great point.
I actually had it backwards.
That's a great point. You know, yesterday, you take sacks out, he threw it 16 times and ran it 5. 21 plays. And again, you're taking sacks out of the equation. 21 plays, 230 yards, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers.
38 points on 16 passes.
16 pass. 14 of 16 for 192 and 3 touchdowns. I mean, and like, you just, okay, he's a little wild with his throw. Well, then Surratt's going to make a one-handed catch, and Becker's going to turn into a freaking Hunter Renfrow in Syracuse in 2018 and do a helicopter catch. I mean, the whole operation is like, well, what play needs to be made? Let's go make it together. Let's go to Delvin, who's up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. What's up, Delvin?
What's up, guys? You know what this all means, don't you?
What's that?
Next year, the SEC going to change the rules so they can get all 16 teams in the playoffs next year.
I mean, listen.
If they'll win the national championship, because, you know, like the past 2 years, they don't came in there trying to change the rules so they get more teams in there. I'm telling you, if they don't win the national championship this year, you're going to see. Breaking news, the SEC is trying to meet a meeting to try to get all 16 teams, even though they're 2-10, they're getting playoff next year.
Well, you know what? You know what's amazing? That when they did that, they would show the stat that the only SEC teams that lost in the playoff lost to other SEC teams as a way to prove the strength. Like, you know for a fact that Paul Feinbaum has a teed-up talking point where he's going to talk about in about 3 weeks that two of the SEC's playoff losses were to fellow SEC teams.
You know, and Delvin, my comeback to that is going to be, if I'm on that committee, I'm going to say, well, you know, that same SEC went 13-12 against Power 4 teams this year.
Woo!
And that same SEC was 3-7 against Power 4 teams that finished in the top 25. 3-7.
Yeah, and to talk about Chad Morris, I know a lot of people say, why Chad Morris, but the same people say no Chad Morris are saying yes Jeff Scott. Aren't they don't they run the same offense? I don't know the difference between those two. So if you pro Jeff Scott, you should be pro Chad Morris. I kind of like that because you got an identity. You know what Chad Morris is going to do on offense. So, and he's going to be in control of the offense. Everybody talk about Dabo Melton. Trust me, Dabo won't be Melton with Chad Scott. I mean, not Chad Scott. I could buy Chad Morris running the offense.
Yeah, I take
Chad Morris running, with Chad Morris running the offense, you know who's going to be in control. The question is, guys, do you think – I know Dabo said he might not look at the quarterback. Do you think they will end up in quarterback after all said and done in this portal? You think they'll end up with a quarterback?
Delvin, I still sort of think they will. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Third time I called.
It will not be, and I've heard conflicting things about this from a bunch of people. I mean, you'll have one conversation, and there will be people who go, you know, behind the scenes, Clemson's been connected to, and they'll list off some names. Aiden Childs' name came out. That was a name that was potentially out there that I initially raised my eyebrow like, I don't know about that.
Let's talk about Chad Morris on the other side.
Let's do that. Stay with us. Oh, before we get a break, let me tell you about Nick Lavery. This is a great time to remind you that Nick is for you. If you're a Clemson native, if you're an upstate resident, Nick is one of you. 25 years serving Clemson people, particularly Clemson students. Students are coming back. When you're in college, a legal problem can seem like the end of your life. Nick can make sure it doesn't have to be that way. He's going to give you the representation that you deserve. He's going to fight on your behalf to take some of the stress off your plate and off your family's plate. For more, go to nicklaverylaw.com. That's nicklaverylaw.com. We got lots more to discuss. 654, or you want to get in hour one of the program, continues right after this.
Blue and white trucks rolling down the street. Fixing pipes and wires.
Yeah, I think Poppy figured it out. Like, the balance of the sky. And I kind of feel like Brad's not going on the road, but Brad's gone a little more to the... We need some easy, like, 30-point wins instead of trying to schedule teams are going to win their conference in the, like, the mid and low majors.
Friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game. Everything has to be right, so when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold white and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
Get lost in the sound of nature, not in long haul times.
At Upcountry Fiber, we believe our neighbors deserve better. Real people right here in your community, ready to help. No pressure, no surprise fees, just fast, reliable internet and friendly local service. And right now, you'll save $15 a month for a year on any fiber internet plan. Upcountry Fiber, certified local. Visit upcountryfiber.com/year-of-internet. Upcountry Fiber, a stronger connection.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have 2-stall, 3-stall, and 4-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
At Ben Mason Insurance, we don't just provide insurance, we offer peace of mind to our upstate community. Whether it's auto insurance, home insurance, or life insurance, we're dedicated to safeguarding what matters most. Located at 188 Blaylock Road, Boiling Springs, we're here and ready to serve you. Call us today, 864-578-7100, and let us tailor a policy that fits your needs. Ben Mason Insurance, your trusted partner in protection.
Have you considered the legacy you'll leave behind for your family? The staff at Green Law Firm is here to help you create a legacy you'll be proud of. The best time to plan for the future is now. Whether it's a straightforward will, power of attorney, family trust, or another option, David Green is here to guide you in choosing the right path for you and your loved ones. Call today, 864-271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal so he can start planning your family's legacy together.
The Upstate's home for Clemson men's and women's basketball. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, welcome back. Hour one continues out of bounds. You know, people need to know that our conversations really don't stop during the during the break.
I think they know that now.
I think they do.
We're talking scheduling strategies during the break there. And hey, you know, there's my one mistake for the entire year.
That was a running conversation, by the way. That
never
was like,
ever will I make another.
We talked about that before the show. We talked about that during the first break. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about that during that break. That we're, you know, about Sean Poppy and Brad Brownell and their scheduling and how they've tried to put their teams in the position to succeed this year in terms of the net ratings. Job well done so far by both gentlemen.
I'm glad some of the other things we said didn't.
The world will never know. I'll say this publicly, great week in Underdog, man. I mean, great. Absolutely terrific. And Underdog, look, there's, four college football games today? Slew of good college basketball this weekend. And listen, folks, Underdog's your ticket. That's the place. I've got a 50% profit boost in my account right this moment that is ready and waiting to be used on Rice, Texas State. It's just begging in the next 15 minutes to be used. Underdog's the best place to play in 2026. Here's how you start playing the best daily fantasy there is. Download the app. Use promo code OOB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus, present South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms _DFS_.html for details. Consume with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. You said, let's talk about Chad Morris. It does appear by all accounts that Clemson is very close to rehiring Chad Morris as offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach to replace Garrett Riley. I would say, based on the conversations I've had in the last couple of days with various people, that is the track now. There are not parallel tracks where they're trying to see how far they can get with multiple candidates. That feels like the track. And the response, when that was floated out there, last time we were on the air on Tuesday, the response was overwhelmingly negative. I actually think it has been medium negative since. So I don't know whether that's people just trying to come to grips with it or whatever. I feel like my Twitter timeline has been a little muted, but also not loving it. What have you seen the last couple days, Ben?
There's a few people that I talk to from time to time that will tell me things that I put a lot of stock in. And Chad Morris being the guy is one of those, from what I was told. Of course, it's obviously not signed, not announced yet. I got to think that maybe there is still some sort of negotiation happening. But, yeah, I mean, all indications that he's the guy. I got to be honest, I'm a little surprised at the amount of pushback, and I'm trying to come to grips with why that is. And because it can't be his performance while he was at Clemson. There were 41-11 when he was here. You know, he, think about what Clemson's offense was before that. I mean, he kind of saved him. I mean, he was that was the jumping on point right there. Did he have the best wide receiver room in the country? Yes, he did at that time. And he learned how to maximize that. So I don't, you know, now I express my concerns about some rule changes and things. And I think, you know, that the way that tempo has been neutralized in college football, I think hurts Chad Morris and his schemes. But that's not to say that he was an excellent play caller. And, man, they were winning games when the Clemson defense sucked. I mean, let's just call a spade here. They were bad during some of that time. And, you know, Clemson would still score like 49 points and win. I think the pushback, there's two possible reasons here. One, people think that, like, Todd Monken's going to come. Todd Monken's not coming to Clemson or anywhere else for that matter. or that Cade Bell's going to come and bring his quarterback with him. We don't know that that would happen. I mean, it would be unusual.
That would not seem like something that Clemson would want, because that's a you'd lose your whole quarterback room if
yeah, and
if
that just doesn't that seem the method of operation that they've had here. And the other thing is, you know, there's this belief that maybe Chad Morris is a yes man, and that's why Dabo's hiring him. And you know, I can give a little bit of. I can give that a little bit of validity. I think that's a valid concern. I don't know that that's accurate. I also don't think that you should discount being comfortable with someone and understanding them and not having to learn new personality. I do think there's value there that we don't necessarily recognize. So. You know, I think some of the concerns are valid, but at the same time, let's also not act like he's a horrible offensive coordinator. In fact, I think he left before he should have left, and he would have been an even better coordinator. But I mean, SMU kept came calling, offered him a head job, and that's what he wanted to do. You know, back in Texas at the time, I mean, of course he was going to take that job. You know, he also, while he never coached Deshaun Watson came to Clemson because Chad Morris recruited him. It's as simple as that.
And he outworked Mike Bobo.
And the relationship that he developed with Watson and Deshaun's mom at an early I mean, he identified that early in high school, and to the point that he came here, Watson came even though Chad Morris left.
That's right, and was very good in Chad Morris's offense and then the Chad Morris-adjacent offense that Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott ran. Here are a couple of things, and I have not heard anybody spell this out, but I did spend some time this week sort of thinking about what is it that has people particularly bothered about this? Because let's be honest, okay? I think there are three criticisms of Dabo Swinney that are not helped by this hire. I would say two of them are criticisms of Dabo, and third is a criticism of Chad that happened at the time. And again, I don't know that anybody is spelling this out, but I think it may be the root of this. The first one, go ahead.
Let me just... Chad did coach Deshaun 1 year.
1 year, that's right. But he didn't leave with Chad, and I think that was a concern.
Yeah, I misspoke there.
The first criticism of Dabo that I think this doesn't help is that Dabo likes to hire people he's intimately familiar with instead of people who are eminently professionally qualified. Now, we have talked about how that narrative is not exactly true, but it has been sort of true at times. I think in this case, you could sort of subscribe to the old theory that when you fire somebody, you look for the thing that that person lacked. The thing that Garrett Riley lacked was familiarity and maybe, I don't know, a connection with that. Did it feel like they were super connected to you? The way Dabo sort of ripped them after games and would the way he talked about the guy, it didn't feel like there was a great personal connection between Garrett Riley and Dabo and that sort of thing. So there may have been some friction there, and you don't have to worry about that with Chad. Chad Morris worked with some of his fellow coaches on staff. Chad Morris has worked with Dabo before. If you really want to nail that down, then you've done that. Okay, so whether you agree or disagree with the hire, you got to admit the ability to work well with the staff that's in place, Chad Morris checks that box.
And Chad Morris's quarterback for the majority of his time here is on staff working with quarterbacks.
Correct.
In Taj Boyd.
So that's number one, is that Dabo tends to hire who he knows and likes as opposed to people who are eminently professionally qualified, which it's a bit of a mixed bag there. The second one is that Dabo is very much in love with the past. Think about how many press conferences there were. Our text line during the press conference, the only things that really people would text in would be like, okay, enough. No one has forgotten what happened in 2013. No one has forgotten about 2016. No one has forgotten about national championships. No one has forgotten about winning the league. No one has forgotten about any of this stuff. We don't need to be reminded of this. Why are we talking about that as opposed to how we can win next week? That is what our listeners were asking us after many Dabo press conferences. And I think if that is a concern of yours, which I have pointed out, I think Dabo Swinney pressed all the buttons he knew to press at some point this year, and the only thing he could do was lean on the past, that these things have worked themselves out in the past, so they will work themselves out again. I see that criticism as like, if you already thought that Dabo was leaning too much into this is what I did during Obama's second term, then you're not going to like the Chad Morris hire, because that tends to lead into that. That's number two. And number three is a criticism of Chad Morris that I have had and that I think Dabo Swinney would have had around 2015. And that is that when Chad Morris left and Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott took over, the offense became more grounded. It was a little more cerebral. It was a little less Red Bull. It was a little more, we're gonna just establish a few things. We're going to be a little more methodical, a little more careful about what we're doing. We're going to play a little better version of complimentary football. Ben, what you said is true. Chad Morris took over when Clemson's defense was a doo-doo sandwich. But also, there were times where Clemson's offense, because it was so go, 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 Red Bull, Red Bull, Red Bull, chug, 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 chuck mm-hmm. it, chuck it, chuck it, that the defense is put out there, and you wonder, can a defense, a really good defense, coexist like that? And you could argue that Brent Venables' defense never really emerged as a national force until 2014 when Deshaun got hurt, where you had to play a little more buttoned up with Cole Stout, and then 2015-16 where Clemson was still scoring points but also was better complementary football. So I looked at the end of the Chad Morris era as Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott made it more of an offense that Dabo Swinney liked because they were more willing to embrace a style of complementary football that Clemson needed to win two of the next four national championships.
When Swinney refers to the Clemson offense, though, I always think back to about that 2014 year where rules made you have to slow down a little bit.
Yes.
But also it became a little more complimentary, and Chad Morris was part of that. Again, I'm sort of reserving judgment here. I'm not picking a side, but to characterize Chad Morris as a fireable offense if he is hired, then I think that's a bridge too far.
I think that remains to be seen. I think a lot of people, too, have said what you said on Tuesday, which is if you don't get quarterback right, you could hire anybody and it wouldn't matter.
And again, now listen, I'm just talking here. Nobody's told me anything on what I'm about to say, but what if one of those negotiating hangups is the quarterback next year? Like, I will come there, but we've got to look at the portal. Does that change your opinion?
I would say I think there are some coordinators that if they felt sure that they would have a little more autonomy coming in the door, that some of the candidates that I would have had higher on my list might have been a little more palatable. Like, I think if you're telling offensive coordinator candidates you can't hire your staff, you can't bring in your quarterback, that a lot of people are like, then I'm not coming. I'm not going to coach your staff with your quarterback. I just think right now, that because that's the way that it's being done, and that's offensive coordinators and quarterbacks are being joined at the hip, I think that's tough. And I do think that Chad Morris would at least want to see what's out there. I think if somebody wants to be the offensive coordinator at Clemson, I think you could justify it even if they don't get a portal quarterback, but at least have the door open. You know, at least don't tell me that the door is closed and we are not exploring portal options. Look, if you get outbid for your quarterbacks and then you go, you know what, the guys that are out there are not a discernible upgrade that we're able to get or that we're comfortable paying, then that's one thing. But I think the way it's been framed is that the door is shut. First of all, I don't think that's an accurate framing, that the door is shut. I think what Clemson is going to end up doing is getting a quarterback that is more mid-tier, that will be a part of a multi-quarterback competition in the spring and in August camp. That's what I think is going to happen, regardless of who the OC is. And I think if you're Chad Morris, you would want to at least bring in another body to see. Because a Vezina-Denson showdown is without any other iron to sharpen that iron, guys that have played and had success in college, I don't know that that's what he would want in year one. We've got more on this coming up. We got to talk Clemson-Syracuse hoops as well. Good finish to the year for Brad Brownell's Tigers. They're on the road again tomorrow, so we'll talk about that. Stay with us. Hour two of the program is next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video.